Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the last day of March 2025, and it's a gorgeous day out here in Dublin anyway. Although the dark morning is a bit of a shock to the system with the time change for us early risers anyway. We have an excellent show for you today though, so join in the group chats with us and don't include any of your war plans on the WhatsApp, which is 087 032 32 32, and you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Tarish Tuck. Yeah, it was a very sad Mother's Day for news on our roads. Our hearts and, of course, sympathies go out to the families of those three women who died in separate crashes in Cork and in Waterford, and especially those to those injured as well, especially the little children. And they were on the way to a family occasion, so just desperately sad news. God help them. God help them, especially on a day like that, on a beautiful day it was too. In the wider world, and I'm afraid it's political tumult for the week ahead. The trade war apparently begins on Wednesday, the 2nd of April. The US is coming for our farm industry that has been propping up Ireland all these years, even though the concentration, I suppose, has always been on big tech, but it really was pharmaceuticals, really is. And the EU is reading over the weekend, they might retaliate. They're thinking about taxing the heck out of tech because they're so close to Donald Trump. So there are ominous times ahead for the Irish economy as well. And as the Dáil, of course, it's entering another week of cacophony and that tiresome drama around the Ceann Comhairle, who's facing confidence motions, although Verona Murphy will survive, but hardly unscathed. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Michael Lowry and his friends will get to do their first leaders' questions, this time under the new, very controversial rules. That'll be a tough day out, won't it, for the sign language people, given Deputy Lowry's poor understanding of hand signals, put it in this kind of way as we can. Thank heavens, therefore, for the reprieve of sport. Mayo, of course, will be unhappy to lose the final to Kerry once again. The Kerry people will be very careful not to show any sort of joy in a league win. Not at all. They don't be caring about that at all. It's all about, well, it used to be September, now it's July. But in Division 2, Monaghan beat the Rossies in a great night's entertainment at Croke Park before a freezing cohort of diehards in the Hogan Stand and the Hogan Stand alone. And it's our first trophy, bit of silverware, since the Ulster final 10 years ago. So good times. And on the front page of the Irish Times, I see news as well in the rugby, because Ireland produced a brilliant performance and a record-breaking winning margin in the Six Nations match, thrashing Italy 54-12. The girls in green scored 8 tries in the process, including a hat-trick for right-wing Anna McGann. So it's good news there for Irish rugby, because they struggled last year, although they had a good old autumn. Ireland had won just one of their previous 11 Six Nations away games, and this triumph will give them a boost as they face into the next assignment when they host England, who are the scorching hot favourites. They're hosting England at Musgrave Park on the 12th of April. So there you go. And there was rugby around the place as well over the weekend. Goodness, for a week. Now, unfortunately, the story making waves overnight is not very entertaining, because Donald Trump has been talking about the methods, if not plans, to circumvent the constitutional limit that prevents him serving a third term. This is an interview that was put out on NBC. Actually, there's no clips of it. He spoke on the phone to a journalist who then just read out his quotes. It's kind of strange. But basically, he said, when asked about his constant references and asides about maybe he'll do a third term and maybe he'll do two terms at least, he said this time he's not joking about the third term. There are methods about which way you could do it. And the presenter of NBC's Meet the Press kind of alluded to a purported loophole that Trump supporters have been putting out there, saying, well, maybe he could be the running mate to Vice President J.D. Vance. So J.D. Vance would be the main guy on the ticket in 2028. Trump would be the vice president pick. And then Vance would just simply resign, and then Trump would take over by succession. And that would be apparently an argument to circumvent the 22nd Amendment, which prevents a third term. Explicitly, the fans of his say it explicitly bans being elected to more than two presidential terms without saying anything about becoming commander-in-chief on an additional occasion through succession, as in a veep stepping up to the mark. However, J.D. Vance has never said he's interested in this plan or has even alluded to it. And an election law professor told the Associated Press the Constitution's 12th Amendment says no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president can be eligible to the office of the vice president. So there you go. So if he's not eligible to run for president because of the amendment stopping him running for a third term, he wouldn't be eligible to run for vice president either. There are two other routes for him, which is to change the constitution. Both very difficult. He can't unilaterally remove an amendment. A two-thirds majority vote of Congress, followed by ratification from the majority of voters in three-quarters of the states across America, given the slim majority the Republicans have in the House and Senate, and the polarisation in the electorate. No hope there. And the other route is two-thirds of the states, that's 34 states out of 50, agree by referendum that they may have a constitutional convention. But even then, if they went through the convention and the proposal was to remove the 22nd Amendment, a majority vote in three quarters of all the states of America would be needed to ratify. So it looks kind of impossible. It looks absolutely impossible for him to do the third term. The 22nd Amendment was only brought in 1951, and it was aimed at preventing presidents serving more than two terms to stop the country basically dipping into the autocracy that they saw in 1951. The Second World War was very raw for them. And any efforts, of course, would go to the Supreme Court. It is majority Republican, but he would have to obey. They would have to go by the Constitution, basically. Because he could attempt to defy the highest court, which has happened twice previously. Andrew Jackson and Abe Lincoln did it, no doubt. But keep an eye on that. It could be just a distraction to everything else that's going on. Because now, looking at all the press in America, is leading with that story about the third term. And also saying he's going to cause pain for Putin. More on that, I'm sure, and Claire coming up after this show. 51551 is our text, by the way. And this morning on the programme, we welcome an actor, Peter Hanley in his name. And you'd know him from a really promising career. Definitely, if you remember Ballycus Angel, which went on for many, many seasons, he was the Garda Ambrose in that. Or he was the Weakling Prince, very memorably in Braveheart. And most memorably here, because, of course, it was one of those first big blockbusters made in Ireland in the 90s. 1994 it was shot in, but it came out 30 years ago this year. And whatever happened to Peter Hanley, says you? Well, he had a brilliant career on stage until bang. He was hit with extreme stage fright, more or less, since 2011 until now. So we're looking forward to hearing his story this morning. And we'll get back to a bit of entertainment to get over all of that Trump and his third term malarkey, because Pierce Brosnan and other actors in the press, he's never stopped. He's 71 years of age now, still a hit. In fact, the photograph I'm looking at him in the Irish Daily Mail this morning put you in mind of a bit of a Sean Connery in the Entrapment era. Remember when he had that nice, very fetching wig and that unlikely scenario of him and Catherine Zeta-Jones? And the Irish Daily Mail tells us that you can take the boy out of Navan, and apparently the accent too. Pierce Brosnan has admitted he had to get dialect lessons for his new role playing an Irishman in a streamer series, Mob Show, which is directed, some of it anyway, by Guy Ritchie. It's a drama series called Mobland. And there's a politician's voice he was used, his coach basically, his dialect coach, used a politician's voice to perfect the accent. We'll come to that now in a second. By the way, this is written by Sarah Slater. It's a good name to be in the Daily Mail, isn't it? Slater. Very, 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 very fitting. So we know Pierce Brosnan. He was here till he lived in Ireland till he was 12 years of age, and then went across to England. And he's got a very mid-Atlantic brogue, and of course he would have had to change it for James Bond, which is a British role. But people are pointing out the trailer and saying, "Oh, suspect accent here." Where are we here? Here, this bit.
Name Conrad Harrigan, family man. And if you cross my family, well, you'd better pray. We shake the right hands, break the wrong ones. We don't ask, we take. And when someone forgets their place, I've got a man for that.
Pleased to meet you.
My wife's the brains behind the charm. She holds me together. That makes her the most dangerous of all.
The second you lose trust in me is the second this family turns to dust.
Hope you get that.
So, are you with us or are you against us?
Oh. Just one word there in an Irish accent at the end. Fair play to Pierce. That was Helen Mirren, by the way, who, from what I could tell, is doing a Northern accent, which she has done before, and she went out with Liam Neeson for a while there. What is this all about? Well, Pierce Brosnan is playing Conrad Harrigan, a Don Corleone-style patriarch of an Irish mob family that controls a huge criminal network from their English estate. And the cast includes Helen Mirren, as you heard there. She's a psychopathic wife, Maeve, basically. And Tom Hardy is the family's fixer, and he does his thing, as he always does, looks mean, nasty, and mumbles quite a lot. But for that accent, which basically you can kind of tell he's trying on a Kerry accent, and the press says that's how he was trained for the role. Although I see the London Times says, it's lucky that Brosnan, as the barber-wearing crime patriarch, is actually Irish-born and bred, or I'd have assumed that his fiddle-de-dee accent was completely OTT. Mirren speaks in an equally broad Irish blarney. that would be distracting if you weren't so gobsmacked by her cold-blooded sociopathic nature. And they give it 3 stars. They're saying it's a generic organised crime gang fare, but every time Tom Hardy shows up, you'll find it impossible to look away, or look away, as you might say. But in the Mail, they point out, for his role, the coach helped Brosnan to master his dialect by listening to tapes of a politician, an unnamed politician, with a Kerry accent. But he's doing it very slow down. That's why it sounds weird to our ears, because we dug deep and we did find Michael Healy-Rae, the odd time, speaks kind of slowly.
And the way I would word it is, the work that we have done, myself and Denny, in conjunction with the county councillors, we are ensuring that government are taking on board the issues and the concerns that are in County Kerry. And of course, remember, if they're in County Kerry, they're reflected throughout the rest of the country.
Country. It's very important. It's a kind of a junior infants Kerry dialect coach there going, we are now today doing a Kerry accent. Now, when you're listening to trailer, often the trailer is recorded in a studio booth. He has time to record the accent and so on. But it's all about the heat of the scene. And Pierce Brosnan, I think he can detect the Kerry.
It's always the same.
Bit of Kerry
sing
song.
In any orchard.
In any orchard.
You plant the trees.
Ooh.
The trees grow tall.
Oh, he's losing it big time.
And sooner or later, they begin to get mangled. And before you know it, the apples start to rot. And that, Harry, my son, is pruning time.
He's doing the kind of thing that they taught him to do. But then he's used the word, which is very telling, mangled. Which might be the summary. The Guardian also gave it 3 stars. This Guy Ritchie gangster drama is so cartoonish you could dismiss it as crass twaddle. But watching Tom Hardy threaten people is irresistible. And the Hollywood reporter is criticising Helen Mirren there. Hardy and Pierce Brosnan offer mumbly menace in derivative crime thriller. It is on Paramount Plus, which you have to pay for $7.99 or something like that. This text says, tell Brosnan he sounds like something from The Quiet Man. Stage Irish. And that is the accent they're all the time trying to do, but they can't do it at all, you see. You understand. Irish people doing interesting things abroad. We are obsessed with Eurovision as a nation, it would seem. And there's an Irish Czech singer-songwriter who has penned the song for Armenia this year. Joshua Curran is his name. Says incredible experience. His mum is Czech, his dad is Irish. Curran, obviously that'd be the Irish bit. And he spent his summers at his granny's house in Tramore in County Waterford, which has produced a few songwriters down below, Moncrief and so on. I've loads of cousins from Waterford and Dublin. We holiday together as a family, and he describes himself as Irish Czech. So he's a multi-instrumentalist. He only turned 20, and he has penned this song. We'll have a little clip of Survivor.
I'm a survivor.
Armenia. Oh, that's the Eurovision bit for sure. Oh, a bit of heavy metal as well. They've kind of like done everything, a bit of pop, heavy metal. And also if you see the images of the singer, he's covered in soil for reasons that will never be explained because it's Eurovision, basically. Remember Malta? We were talking about Malta on this show as well, who had they've been forced to change the lyrics of their song because it was serving, they were saying serving cant, which is the Maltese word for chant and song and so on. But everybody could see what they were really doing. And so they've had to remove the offending word. Did they replace the offending word? Let's see what they've done, serving.
Serving.
Ah, nothing.
Serving.
Somebody crying for help there in the background. So they've left a blank there, obviously, to let the audience fill in. They're very clever. That's a kind of a viral thing that's going on there. Serving brunch. Is that what we think they're saying? That's what our team this morning thinks is going on. By the way, good luck to everybody this morning waking up after the Dublin City Half Marathon inaugural. So it's the first one, hasn't been done before. 12,000 people ran in it, and they ran across the city centre on the north side of our capital city yesterday. And it was fantastic weather. It was absolutely beautiful blue skies. And they say it was 15, 16 degrees at various times, so that made it difficult to run. But people on social media were pointing out the fact that it was scheduled on the same day as the clocks went forward, which meant that everybody running the half marathon had lost an hour's sleep. So hopefully they would have slept well last night. Nicholas Michael Sheridan from Bohermean Athletics Club in County Meath is the first woman over the finishing line with a time of 77 minutes and 59 seconds, just under the 78. Dedicated her win to her sister because she had to leave early from the hen party on Saturday to prepare for a hen party and less than an hour's sleep. Well done to everyone. Half marathon, half wrecked, say is what they were. And of course, well done to everyone who went out and got their Mother's Day cards on the day itself. Again, across TikTok in particular in Ireland, people were complaining that they couldn't find cards that had ma, mammy, or any Irish ma'am references to cards. It was all mummy, mom, or Mother's Day. So I'm sure they got on with their friends from Ireland. There are Irish ones around the place if you dug deep. But if you're looking for it on the Sunday, you can't really be complaining about much. 51551 is our text. I think we'll start here this morning with young Sinead.